to start it, I'll end it.
You've never started it.
I started it last time.
You did.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Let's say, remember the symmetrical face.
All right. You guys ready?
I can start it again.
No. I'll start it.
I got a good intro.
Okay, let's start it.
Okay. Welcome back to They Not Like Us. My name is Jared Lascano, and the man that all the ladies love, but he only loves one.
He's not here right now, but I took his place. I'm Josh Richardson.
You didn't let me finish it.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. My co-host, the one that all the ladies love, but he only loves one, Joshua Johnson.
Oh, and you know who you are.
Your mama.
Mom.
You got a face only a mom would love.
Exactly.
How you been? How you doing? You doing good?
Guys, school starts tomorrow for us BYU students, and
UVU already started.
I've been living out of a suitcase for the past 2 months, which is a blessing. I've been to Europe. I've been to Hawaii. I've been to Texas. I've been to Southern Utah, Northern Utah. I've been everywhere.
What were you doing in Texas? Worldwide.
I was visiting people. Visiting family, visiting a lot of really awesome people. I had a great time. Life is good. God is good. But we're back, baby. We got a little hiatus. We lost our 4 followers, but we'll get you guys back.
We'll get them back.
But
we did a lot of content
this
week because we haven't been able to. And I just came back from a 2-week trip.
In England. He has a little bit of an accent
in England,
if you can't hear it.
Bloody brilliant, isn't it? That was bad.
That was okay. He had, what was it? You have Pride and Prejudice posters, a bunch of them that you bought. And
I did.
Limited edition Pride and Prejudice books. So
I have Mr. Darcy shirtless
right
above
if you're a P&P fan, visit Jared.
P&P fan. that's not a thing. Or an SNS, Sense and Sensibility fan.
Right. That just sounds like a Rihanna song.
So, SNS. But yeah, it's been fun, but now we're focused, we're back on, we have a lot of topics, but this one is the hottest one right now.
Arguably the hottest topic we will ever do, about the most taboo thing
of all time.
And basically Utah, Provo, BYU, but it's still a really big, it's a big deal.
Latinos in BYU.
We're talking about
the BYU honor code.
Dun, dun, dun.
Brigham Young. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Yeah, a picture of like Brigham Young with like red eyes. We can't.
He's not.
I'm gonna get kicked out.
I know. You're wearing all BYU. Oh, just that.
I know.
Just that. But do you want to like explain what is the BYU honor code?
So as a BYU student, we have these things called ecclesiastical endorsements. And essentially, it partners up with the honor code. We have to agree and sign a contract to live by a certain set of rules. The honor code is mirrored off of the LDS Church's standards for living. So word of wisdom, right, which is a dietary customs in terms of what you can eat, what you can't eat. Law of chastity, which means no sex, right, which is a surprise since BYU has invented its own many a different attempts to circumvent that. So naughty, 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 all you weirdos
zoinks
out there.
Zoinks!
So, if you've seen any TikTok videos, you know exactly what I'm talking about. BYU students are freaky. Anyways, the
law premarital
chastity,
sex. Premarital sex,
right? Yeah, once you get married, who cares?
You can do whatever you want.
You can swing, right? Mormon wives. It's a new Hulu TV show coming up. But, so law of chastity, and then abiding by and living in agreement with the LDS Church. And so in order to attend here, now that's not for everyone. There are students that are not members that go through their own specialty process.
Yeah.
But that is for the vast majority of people here because most people are LDS. So the word of wisdom is pretty straightforward. There are some things that we're about to get into that are a little out there in terms of grooming standards is one of the big ones. So at BYU, you can't have beards. You can have mustaches. Ladies, let me know what you think about that one. But you can't have beards. You have to have short hair. You can't have multiple piercings. No tattoos. Nothing.
Nothing.
And so over the years, there's been...
And modest clothing.
Modest clothing, right? And so, like, at BYU Idaho, you can't even wear shorts on campus. You have to wear, like, sweats and approved clothing items. And so, it's garnered a lot of attention recently because of this idea of, like, what do you mean you can only dress a certain way, you can only look a certain way? We can't take... If you go to the testing center to take the tests you need for your class, if you have stubble, which I have right now... I wouldn't be able to take a test. I would have to go home and shave. So it's garnered a lot of attention, especially as it tackles this idea of, like, well, what's appropriate grooming standards, right? There are people that have curlier hair and people who have thicker hair for their beards. And so, like, can we all abide by the grooming standards? Is it biased towards certain groups of people? Like, it's definitely brought up a lot of debate on its... fairness and whether or not it's an equal employer opportunity employer or if it's rigged and if it caters to certain populations and groups. So that's kind of what we're getting at today. And if you're a BYU student, you know, you hate it or you love it. There's no middle ground, right? And if you're not a BYU student, then you probably don't care because you go to UVU and you can do whatever you freaking want, or U of U or USU.
But you are in shock that this is happening right now in 2024.
Right.
Also, the LGBTQ, you can't have homosexual relations.
Oh, yes, you can't do that.
A lot of, so what we did is that on our Instagram and TikTok, if you do not follow us, you should, we asked for your responses, and you guys were very generous with them and sent us...
Very. He's married. You can't hit on this guy.
sent us sentences, and some of you guys sent us whole... scriptures and books on what you think, and we are so very thankful for that.
Yeah, I was gonna say we really do appreciate that. I think it
because we can't think for ourselves, so
really I've been struggling. I don't know how I'm gonna make it through this school year. I think my IQ has dropped significantly in the past 5 years.
Oh my gosh. So we can't talk about, we can't read all of them on the podcast, but we will post them. But we did pick a couple that really kind of talked for everybody from what we saw. Most of them were negative, or maybe not negative, but most of them were against, right? The BYU honor code. There was maybe like two or three that were that were for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that as well. Mm-hmm. So do you have anything to say about the honor code before we get into the nitty gritty?
Well, no, I think by the end of this, you'll understand my viewpoints and or Jared's viewpoints. And I would just state that I don't inherently like hate or disagree, and I don't inherently agree with all of it. I think I like a good middle ground, but we'll get into all of that as we read.
Yes. Okay, so this was the first one. The honor code is a hypocritical work of trash written by men's opinions of what they think is God's word. It is only used against minorities, and I have not seen it used against white people before. It needs serious reform solely due to the legal repercussions that might come from enforcing white Mormon culture on others. They just need to mess with an educated minority family to feel it.
Right.
That was the first one. That was the first response that we got. Yeah,
which is heavy. That was heavy. But I think there are two things that, like, I would want to unpack, and this is from my experience. We're not going to, like, I think everyone has a bit of truth in what they're saying. And so, like... For me, I'm going to look up a couple of statistics because I want to make sure that I'm 100% getting this correctly. But I get what they're saying. So statistically speaking, BYU is comprised up of 81% Caucasian. That's a lot.
81?
I thought 81. It was more. I thought it'd be more, but to be honest with you, it gets all a little finicky. 1% Pacific Islander. That's hard to believe because I feel like most of them are... There's a lot of people who are Pacific Islander here, at least a lot of my friends. 9% as Hispanic or Latino. So I get where they're coming from in the sense of, like, I remember my first experience with the testing center. I had just shaved, and I went up there, and I wanted to take a test, and they're like, hey, you know, we're not supposed to let you through because you need to shave. And I was like, well, I did shave. And they're like, well, we can see stubble. And I'm like, well, yeah, because my hair is, like, really dark. So even if I do shave, it still seems stubbly because I had wider, fairer skin, right? But I have, like, thick hair.
Yeah.
And I remember that was my first time kind of getting angry. I was like, what do you mean you're going to keep me from taking my test? Like, bro, I pay tuition. I'm funding the professors, their salary, right?
You're paying them.
I'm paying them, and I'm paying the people who are working at the honor code office.
Technically,
in essence, right? And even if I'm not directly tithing, is the idea of the subsidized part of BYU. But what I remember getting so, like, mad, and I was like, I wanted to jump across and just, like, choke the person out, right? Like, I mean, that's not great, but I was like, how dare you, like, deny me my right to take a test? And I feel like that was valid. They were just doing their job at the end of the day. But I think that is the first point, is like, statistically, it is majority white people and Caucasian. And Caucasian people genetically tend to have different kinds of hair follicles, different shapes, different sizes, lighter, fairer, sometimes softer, right? And people who are Pacific Islander or, let's say, Hispanic, right? Like, my hair is super thick and I will get ingrown hairs really easy. And like, shaving every day is actually incredibly painful. I don't know how to explain it other than, like, it feels like I'm ripping my, like, layers of my skin off every time I shave because that hair yanks, you know?
When I was on my mission, we would have to shave. I mean, it's obviously stricter than BYU honor code. And I would just be bleeding every morning, just bleeding. Because we, like, it would come every single day, every morning. And I had to shave, and it would just, like, bleed. And bleed, and then it would get on my white shirts, and I always had little dots of blood, and it was horrible. It was it was the worst. So the only thing is, from what I've seen from my own, like, in Texas, minorities, especially like Latinos, I'm gonna say just Latinos, I'm not gonna talk about any other minority because I know Latinos more, they're a lot stricter with rules, especially with the church. At least in the Spanish word that I was in.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, for, like, an educated, like, he said minority, or she said minority, family, it would probably have to be, it would be hard for a Latino one. Because Latinos are even stricter than that when it comes to that. Especially with, like, following the rules and, like, something like BYU for many of us, that's, like, the Harvard of the church.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so... But I totally agree. I mean, I always say one of our friends, he's blonde, and he doesn't need a shave for 2 years because you can't see it, right? Well, we have to shave every single morning.
Right.
And that is so frustrating.
Yeah. Right?
So,
and cuts my grits. There are beer cards and different ways to get around it, but, you know, you need medical profession.
You have to get a rash or something.
Yeah, you have to have, like, epidermal or dermal issues and, like, all kinds of crazy stuff. And I remember, like, there's a hair waiver you can get, but you can only get it if you're in a Book of Mormon production video. And – or you're religious, right? Those are the two – and I've talked to the Honor Code Office a bajillion times about all this, right? And so it's just an interesting way of, like, I guess it seems like it's incredibly controlling and there's not a lot of – leniency and love, right? Like, we understand that we have a population of students that's really hurting to abide by those rules because of ingrown hairs or stuff like that. There's a lot of, I've met a lot of friends, African-American friends or, you know, African friends that immigrate over and do international studies here. The follicles are incredibly curly with genetically with African-American hair or African hair or Middle Eastern hair, right? Like, it's very curly hair, which is awesome. But your risk for ingrown hairs is significantly higher than, you know, someone who's traditionally who's Caucasian genetically, right?
Soft.
And so to grow, to shave every day causes a lot of pain for them. And I've met a lot of students who have had this issue. The Black menaces have talked about this issue, right? But it's just like, is there any leniency because of love? Like, hey, we know students are suffering. Let's reach out. Or is it an idea of, like, control? And I think this is a great instance. People feel controlled without being heard or understood, right? So I guess I'll just...
Okay, let's go to the next one. So with the honor code, when you go to BYU, you know full well in advance what it is and what it asks of you. This is a positive one. Not positive, but it's four. You know full well in advance what it is and what it asks of you. We sign it, and it's binding. I feel like when people are upset about it, it's because they didn't realize BYU actually cared about it. If you don't agree with the honor code or actively go against it, there are so many other schools that want you and align with your beliefs and you would thrive there.
So, my thing right off the bat, there's so many issues I feel like with it. I'm not going to say I get exactly where this viewpoint is coming from. But there's an all or nothing argumentative fallacy where it's black or white. Life is not black or white. Like, we have to find a common ground. Otherwise, there's destruction, right? Like, you can't have all or nothing. Like, there's got to be, because we're all very different. Like, everyone is different. And you can't, I'm sorry, but, like, some people can get away with certain things and some people can't. Like, we're all literally made differently. And so the idea with this is, like, what always kind of bothers me is, like, you know, you can sign it or you can leave. And it's like, but that's the most anti-loving thing that I could possibly think of. It's like, that's not love. Love is not demanding. It doesn't demand its own way. This is all in 1 Corinthians 13, by the way. So, you know, this is a very biblical idea, right? Where, like, it doesn't demand its own way. There's leniency and understanding and cooperation and patience, right? And, like, I think this idea of, like, you have to just deal with it or leave, it's like, that's not fair, because so many students grow up, like Jared said, like, this is the pinnacle of academic society here at BYU for an LDS person. And it's like, how can you expect them to get excited about something and then be like, you know, like, if they have any sort of disagreement, it's like, you know, sign it or leave. It's like, that's not a great environment, period, like, to be in. So I get where they're coming from, but unfortunately, I'm going to be honest, I have an idea of exactly, I can picture in my head what gender and what ethnicity is probably writing this.
What are you trying to say?
And so I'm coming from a place of love, but, like, that's an argumentative fallacy. You can't do an all or nothing. Like, there's got to be some sort of common ground, especially in a place of learning and a place of a melting pot of society, right? Like, let's say you're in, well, Utah is a pretty homogenized place. But, like, if you want any sort of introduction from a different part of, like, the world or a different part of society, or, like, if you want any sort of, like, actual harmony between peoples, like, you can't just all or nothing it. Like, not everyone is built a certain way. And so in Utah, you can kind of get away with it historically because everyone's kind of been the same for a long time. But, like, the church wants members from all over the world. And, like,
now it's really spreading and stuff like that.
Right. And so it's like, should we discuss potentially changing things and being more open to assisting, again, minority students who struggle with grooming standards, not even because they're rebellious, but because it hurts or they have medical issues. And not everyone wants to go get, you know, not everyone has the money to go see a doctor two or three times to get some. And it's a tricky process, guys. Like, sometimes the academic side of this, these waivers, it takes a while. And a lot of times they can be very defensive about it. Like, no, you know, I think we need to talk to your doctor a couple more times. Like, it's a process, at least with my hair waiver. Like, it was a long process.
Yeah, I've never done anything.
Sorry, I'm kind of rambling. But I will say I disagree in the sense of, like, I agree you signed a waiver, but that doesn't mean that the waiver is inherently accurate now, right? That's the whole point of modern-day prophets. There's stuff, the stuff that is no longer – it changes, right? And, like, are we in a season of change? Or are we in a season of staying put? And to say that it's going to be the same, that it has to be the same right now without any discussion and you have no say in the matter and you just got to put away everything for the sake of, like, going to a school you love, like, it seems a little cold-blooded and kind of that black or white, in my opinion.
Well, like, he said it, or he or she said it the wrong way, and that it makes it sound like BYU... Like, the BYU honor code is what makes BYU BYU, right?
Right, right.
Which is not true, right? I do understand the honor code in some senses of, like, the whole point, or a lot of, like...
Abiding by church standards.
Yeah, right? The motto of the church is to, you know, put a greater value of yourself, right? And the honor code is kind of doing that. It's like you're putting, making it more honorable, I guess. But, it, you know, without the BYU honor code, or if they took out a lot of the stuff, I think it still would be BYU.
Mm-hmm.
But also, BYU is super cheap, right? And so for a lot of, like, students that maybe their family didn't come off from a well-off environment or well-off, you know, background, like, it's either BYU or like a community college.
That was me, right?
Yeah, a community college isn't bad. I actually really liked it. They gave me free food.
Sure.
Right? But, I mean, to go to a four-year university that is academically like prestigious,
yeah.
Right? And, you know, you got the football. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't do tailgating here, unfortunately. But, you know, you still get the university environment.
Right.
Or going to, like, you know, SAC, right? Mm-hmm. San Antonio Community College, mm-hmm. right? Which has the worst name in the world, mm-hmm. right? SAC. So, you know, things like...
What do you mean by that?
I mean, like, SAC proud.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I'm an alumni.
Yeah,
not
SAC
really.
Attack.
So, that's the only thing that, like... I think BYU would still be BYU without the honor code. I do think the honor code is part of its lore, right? Of like,
should we give the history of the honor code, or is that?
We'll do it within. All
right, right, right.
But the next one is kind of a funny one.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
I like the next one. So I am a female, not me, but this person. I am a female and was told to leave the BYU gym because my shorts were too short. But I had the BYU logo in the shorts. Haha. Like, BYU sold them. And they were just normal Nike shorts. Others were wearing leggings where you can see the crack and everything, and they were still okay. BYU athletes wear uniforms against the honor code. But why are there double standards? Just because we're not BYU-specific athletes. I am still an athlete, but no hate for real. I love BYU. Just thought that was enforced the wrong way. That's...
I mean, I completely agree. I think this one is a really simple... one of the causes for why it should be discussed and changed, right?
Yeah.
It's like, we've worked with the athletic department. I have friends in the athletic department. And like,
yeah,
guys and girls, they recently changed it where guys can wear tank tops in the gym. That was big. I remember walking in and I was like, apostate.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I realized, oh, rules have changed. I'm a judgmental, horrible human being, right?
I went in there with a wife beater.
Right.
They got scared.
They should, because you're a scary man with a wife beater. But that brings up a good point. It's like,
it does.
Athletics, because they bring in money, people tend to overlook things, right? And this is true against any college campus. But because we're BYU and we have standards set aside by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you should not be bought out as a believer in Jesus. Like, money should not be an indicator to circumvent your ideologies and your principles. That's not great. And so, like, this just looks like that. It is like that, where it's like you have these sports teams and, like, these athletes. They're performing great. They're wearing things that you'd see anywhere else. But according to BYU standards, for the general population, it's not okay. And unfortunately, that's just not fair. It's not great. It's not fair. And, like, if everyone's expected to live by a certain standard, great. But if there's certain populations that get away with it, obviously that's going to cause discontent and discouragement. And so this is a great example of, like, you know, this is I agree with the idea of talking about that and changing that in terms of the honor code, because this is a great example of, like, it's obviously catered and circumvented within certain populations at school, which is just not right.
You know, it's funny. You say we work with the athletic department. Like, we were the ball boys for the volleyball team.
Best ball boy out there, baby. Catching every single one of those.
And it was super. It was super fun. We would go. We would mop the floor. And we'd give the ball to the server. But obviously, like, the volleyball girls wear Spanx, right? And then the gymnasts wear their leotard. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. And the boys, right? They wear their tank tops.
They wear their tank tops. I would say it would be weird if the girls wore, like, basketball shorts.
Right. They come out, like, all the other teams are in, and they're just coming out with, like
90s
cholo.
Clothes.
Yeah, right. Like 90s.
I think that would look weird. And
right.
So I don't mind, but it is, like, a double standard, right?
Right.
It's kind of contradictory that, you know, us lowly peasants that maybe weren't as athletic inclined as mm-hmm. them have to wear, you know, or at least the girls, right, can't show their shoulders or their knees. So, you know, that it gets, especially at the gym, right? Especially BYU sold her the gym mm-hmm. shorts. It's tough. It's tough because, like, do you side with the athlete or do you side with the rest of the, like, student body, right?
Well, I don't even blame the athletes. I blame The school. I blame
the system.
The system, right? It's like
the system.
We're all students, but why is the system allowing? And obviously, it's. I mean, I know all about it. My uncle's the AD at a big school, and I won't say a couple big schools. I know all about the financial stipulations and the transactions that go on, and like what brings in money and how the system works and where the donations go and all that stuff like that.
Football.
Well, a lot of it tends to. It depends on where they donate it, right? Like, once you donate it, it has to be allocated to a certain. Football. But anyways, like, we have a partnership with Nike, right? And that's great. But we all know what Nike, like, most of it tends to be like
a little shorter,
right? And so I don't know. I don't blame the athletes. I blame the people in charge because they know what they're doing is wrong and they're okay with doing it because it doesn't affect them. But the issue is, you cannot bring in the name of Jesus Christ and behave against the teachings of Jesus Christ. It's not fair.
I will say, I remember an athlete from BYU in the basketball when Jimmer Fredette was playing. and we obviously had more spotlight because of Jimmer. And he got, I think he was a basketball player. Or he might have been a football player. He was like the running back or something. And he got caught like having sexual relations with his girlfriend. And he got kicked out of BYU. Do you remember this?
That
was a big deal at the time.
A rebuttal, it only happened because it reached the spotlight.
It did, yeah.
Of a lot of athletes that do a lot of things.
Do tell.
I can't because because obviously I don't want to get anyone in trouble.
Yeah, of course, of course.
What I'm saying is, like, I know a lot of people in athletics and everywhere. Like, here's the thing. I know.
Yeah, it's not even athletes.
You know, everywhere.
All, yeah.
But a lot of athletes get a lot of special exclusive benefits and leeways and passes and stuff like that that most people don't get. He got kicked out because it reached spotlight and BYU had to make a decision and they had to maintain their image. Fine.
So
understandable. But most athletes get away with a lot. And so
and that's, to be honest with you, that's not only in BYU.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, it's not just BYU. But what I'm saying is, like, if BYU used to be a specialty school and have specialty rules.
And the honor code.
You can't pick and choose what special rules apply to special places, right? It's like you gotta apply it to the whole broad base of, like, students, right?
Even
like
the peasants.
You can't. And obviously there's room for discussion, right? But, like, I don't know, like, to elevate a certain student body and student base based off of the ability to throw a ball or hit a ball hard, like, that's great, but it's not fair that, you know, they get to share a lot more of themselves. Well, I guess that sounds as coming off wrong, but they get to do a lot more than I think a lot of other student bodies, and they get a lot less.
Yeah, what about the choir people? You know, they can sing beautifully.
Right?
They should be able to wear leotards. Tank tops. Yeah, yeah.
Or the choir, like, why can't choir people have premarital?
And, like, the IT people. I mean, I don't know if I want to see, like, all that, because usually they're, you know.
Right, but, like, you know.
A little bigger, but, you know.
We're gonna get absolutely.
We love them. We love them.
But yeah, that brings up. It's just another example of picky choosy philosophy, and, like, it's just wrong. And it's just wrong, especially if you're bringing it into the philosophies and teachings and doctrines of the church, because the teachings of the church aren't even that strict. I think it's just BYU, which brings up a weird.
Yeah, I will say, by us saying, you know. It really should be all or nothing in the way that, like, it's all the student body has to go through this, like, BYU honor code, or it's kind of nothing.
Right.
And we did talk about it in the other side, the other scope of being all in the BYU honor code, or just not being in care.
Well, see, that's a different kind of, like, idea, right? Where it's like all or nothing, like. Everyone gets to kind of dress the same if we're all forced to dress the same. Why is it specialty populations get to be outside of that? But when it comes to the honor code in general, like, it doesn't constantly have to be this all or nothing. Like, we need to talk about who gets hurt, what benefits students, what might be hurting student bodies. But this is another example of, like, you're right. Like, it's all or nothing in terms of, like, once we abide by the codes, like, we surely should apply the codes to everyone. But we should look at the codes being able to change, because it is hurting people. And obviously, there are populations that are allowed leeway and populations that aren't, which is just not fair, period. So the system in general is just so faulty and all over the place that, like, there needs to be some sort of middle ground or change or application where like it actually makes sense. Like you can't apply rules to just one population. Isn't that that's illegal? That's constitutionally
that's illegal.
That's constitutionally illegal. You know what I'm talking about? To apply rules to just a certain base of people.
I mean, that's
BYU is unconstitutional.
We're in the building.
BYU is an unconstitututional facility. They're breaking the rules of the Constitution. You know, that's under illegal. Private purveyor provisionship.
Oh, this next one I love because it's, you know, it talks about the mustaches that you talked about. It has great guidelines that turn us to the covenants that we make with God. But when these standards are not met, students should be encouraged to talk with their ecclesiastical leaders, such as a bishop, without fear of disciplinary action on the academic level. This encourages repentance rather than deceit when students fall short. The only reason there should be academic disciplinary action is when there is open rebellion and a refusal to cooperate/talk to an ecclesiastical leader. The facial hair stuff is unnecessary, to be honest. They put no cap. Provo mustache culture should be canceled. I'm tired of seeing a plethora of Yosemite Sams frolicking throughout the Harold B. Lee Library. I never saw it as a Yosemite Sam. I always saw it as Top Gun.
Oh, no, because Tom Cruise. People act like they're attractive like Tom. I'm sorry. You're not Iceman. Like, you're Yosemite Sam 90% of the time. Sam. That is a celebrity who's just rocking it, right? No, I think that hit the nail on the head. Everything he said in terms of, like, I agree with everything. Yeah. I think if it is in agreement with the doctrine of the church, however, a lot of the honor code is not in agreement with the doctrine of the church. Or it goes above and beyond the doctrine of the church. I agree. No drinking.
Right when you said that, you know, goes beyond. It reminds me a lot of a class I took here, a religion class, talking about the Pharisees and how the Pharisees had the fence laws to protect themselves from disobeying the real law, right? And then they got so caught up with the fence laws that they got pharisaical. Is that the word?
Pharisaical.
Pharisaical, right? And so, and that's what we're doing here. It's like, we don't want to disobey this law, which is, you know, don't have sexual relations before marriage.
So they allow you to grow mustaches because no one will date you with a mustache, right?
That's how they get you. That's you it. Know. And so, and then they have the fence laws of facial hair, you know, can't look sloppy, can't, you gotta like look clean cut, like a sales bro. Right?
Which is crazy because if you were to
Google
the church's website right now, the mascot for the church is the one and only Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the best.
I want to say mascot though.
Okay.
I think I said the cougar. I was like, well, yeah, the cougar's kind
of
hairy.
The church. The church itself. The picture of Jesus Christ that the church puts out there has a beard and long hair. Imagine the absurd irony if Jesus Christ was to walk in right now. I'd imagine wearing probably chacos, some sort of cargo shorts.
No way.
Right? I mean, he's not. Jesus is a very humble person. He walks in the testing center and he goes, hey, I want to take a test. And they say, get out of here. You don't look the part. You have long hair. You need to go shave. You need to cut your hair. Sorry, you can't take a test. And Jesus, the creator of all things, is like, I can't take a test? What do you mean I can't take a test? Because I look bad? I made this. This is named after me. Or, for example,
named after Brigham Young.
Brigham Young, the guy who had the biggest
triple-decker beard.
Imagine he walks in and he goes, I would really love to participate in taking this academic assessment. And this institution under my name is the perfect place to do it. And you go, yeah, but hey, here's
gotta
the thing.
Go home,
you got to go home and shave, Brigham. And he's like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, I made this possible. Like, so, yeah.
This is a black person go in. He's like, huh, wait. Oh,
what are you talking about?
Because.
Yeah, he's right. Okay. But we're going to. Here's the thing. We're going to divulge. Here's the thing. If we talk about that, which I'm in complete agreement of how horrendous.
It was funny,
but what I'm saying is like that is like completely out of the. But yes, imagine the freaking ridiculousness of it. So The history behind it, it happened during the hippie movement. BYU did not want any hippies on campus. Makes a lot of sense. They're pretty much anti-religious in a lot of ways. So the best way to control a population and instill principles is to catch them at a young age where they're impressionable, their brain hasn't formed yet, and they decided to put rules that stipulate their day-to-day activities, including grooming, the way they eat, the way they go about their day, the way they think. And so the honor code is a great way to keep hippies clean shaven and create a reserved population, right? But the thing is, it's no longer the hippie movement. And Brigham Young had a beard. And Jesus Christ, by all known ideologies, probably had long hair and a beard. Joseph Smith had some sort of, well, no, maybe as a kid, but the only pictures that we get of him are like a kid.
Well, he died when he was like 30, 33. Maybe didn't eating hit like.
I'm sure he had a beard.
All the paintings of him, he has nothing.
Right, but that's when he was like a kid or like a young adult.
Like he was a prophet. Like when he was a prophet. Look, but the thing is, a lot of prophets did have. Woodrow Wilson had a beard. Now I was gonna say this.
Nelson has a beard. You just can't see it. It's translucent.
Well, yeah, it's just like he's also 100 years old. Yeah. But I will say, because I did hear a lot of people say, well, the modern day prophet doesn't have a beard, so we should be like the prophet and not have a beard, right? Or a mustache. Now the thing is, and I remember hearing about this. I didn't fact check myself, so don't take this totally serious. But the first prophet to not have a beard was Howard W. Hunter, right? Who was known to be very sick. And I think he would get rashes and stuff. So he would like always just stay like clean shaven. Like there was something wrong with like something with his hair. Mm-hmm. And then after that, none of the prophets had like beards and mustaches, right? So I've seen bishops with full on beards.
That's like saying, hey, Nelson's rocking a mullet. The whole church will now be rocking
mullets, which so, is kind of what's happening. But President Nelson isn't rocking.
He's not. But what I'm saying is, like, to apply a grooming rule to an older Caucasian man to a worldwide church would not be very idyllic.
No, I mean, some of us look better with beards. I look better with a little bit more facial hair. I look like a little kid without any facial
hair. I'm saying God gave you hair. God gave you the ability to grow hair. By all known laws and doctrines, I feel like you rock the hair the way you want to rock it, you know? It doesn't make any sense to cut what God allows to grow unless, you know, it's unhealthy or it leads to something like that.
Or it's circumcision, you know?
Right, but that, well, Paul talks about that, you know, like, you don't have to be circumcised to be in the body of Christ anymore, you know?
It's just like, funny, like, don't cut anything that, like, grows.
I'm like, all the Jewish friends out there, no hate, man. Like, no hate, but.
All right. Next one. Terrible. Outdated. I understand why it was initially placed and why it sets us apart from the world, but in all my time at BYU, it was nothing but troublesome. So I guess they graduated. Caused a lot of anguish and really shows how the church tries to control every aspect of your life. Let's not start with how participating in the BOMLV meant meant nothing. It's like a asterisk, but I don't remember what it meant. Meant nothing unless you pass a series of checks and verification with the awfully miserable employees at the office. Oh,
it's like the beard card, I think.
Yeah, I swear, they're all middle-aged ladies who have nothing better to do than be grumpy and point out why you don't fit the dress and grooming standards. Mm-hmm. Any member who align at LGBTQ who suffered the heartbreak from a few years ago. Dress and grooming standards is outdated. Mustaches are creepy now. Or maybe they're making a comeback. I low-key think they are, but what is wrong with beards? Literally nothing. Surprised they haven't taken out any images of white Jesus to have him wearing a beard. I could go on, but it would require me to dig through more trauma and policies at BYU that are seriously or simply ridiculous. Sure, the argument can be made. Well, you signed up for this university knowing this would be what you agreed on. Sure, maybe that's the case for a lot, but not all. Plus, we are young adults going through changes, discovering ourselves. To severely punish them for going against the honor code for minor infractions or major offenses is still significantly damaging to them and their relationship with the university, at times the church, and unfortunately, at times with God. This is the Lord's University, right? 3 a.m. rant.
Well,
this has a lot. I do remember one of my friends, they had, you know, like any, you know, you're a guy and you got testosterone and you see a pretty girl and it's late at night and you do stuff, right?
That's disgusting.
Get out of here.
You're nasty.
Me, I didn't do it. But, you know, like you do stuff in the back of the car. Right?
And back rubs in the front seat lead to front rubs in the back seat.
Benjamin Snar.
That's what he said.
Mutual.
You always keep the seatbelt on because then nothing happens.
Benjamin Snar.
Yeah, he didn't teach me that when I was in high school. I wish I had known that back in high school. But anyway, so I remember, you know, we were talking about it. And it's so funny, like, being here, like, in, you know, this university, in this church. Because, like, outside, like, back in Texas, if a guy was like, hey, bro, like, I did it, right? You're like, yo, good, you know, that's what's up, bro. You're right. A dog. You know, you start barking. But here it's like, you don't know if you should be barking or you should be like, hey, man, like, you'll be all right. You know, like, because it's technically against, you know, our church's doctrine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he was like, you know, I want to talk to my bishop, but I'm scared to due to the fact that I had a friend that he got kicked out because of the same thing.
Right.
Right? And so he's like, now he's not going to talk to his bishop because he doesn't want to get kicked out of the college. So now he has to wait like 2 or 3 years to graduate and then talk to his bishop about it. Like, and I understood it. Like, obviously, like, your salvation should be above, like, your education, right? In a perfect world, you know, we should have the mentality.
But you're having to pick and choose with this system.
Yeah, and it's like, it's still your education. Like, you still need to, like, learn to get a career.
How do you learn if you're not given grace?
Exactly, exactly. Like, and so it did, like, the honor code did the exact opposite of what it was supposed to do, right?
Create sneaky and deplorable human, no, I'm kidding, but sneaky people. Statistically, I told you that science will back this up, but like children who are not allowed to be open with their parents and are fear of retribution become sneakier and more manipulative and find ways to do things without anyone knowing, and it leads to more damage than good in the long run because they're not open and they feel like they can't talk about it and then they're worried about retribution. Well, recently, this past year, actually, or the year before, all my time at BYU, the dress and grooming standards for men have been very particular. No tattoos, no excessive piercings. Men's hairstyles are to be neatly trimmed above the collar with the ears showing. Those have been the standards. There recently has been a change where, and they know because they've included on the honor code, it says neatly trimmed, and you can click it, and it's a bunch of FAQs of what means neatly trimmed, right? Yeah. Because they know people are. It is now about being neatly trimmed, and then if you look all the way down at the bottom of one of the FAQs, it says short. What is short, and what is neatly trimmed, right? Like, that kind of gets into ambiguous. And so that's what I was telling. Like, when I came first to BYU, my hair was relatively short above the collar. It was kind of shaggy, but you could see my ears and it was above the collar. And I was like, what rules am I breaking? And they're like, well, it's implicit or implied, right, that you would have basically a fade, right? Like a 1 to a 2, yeah, essentially, yeah. Right? Just like straight buzz fade. And that was so annoying to me at the time. But I will say, like, it has changed. I'm a little worried because there have been some issues, some statements from the president here, and I worked with his daughter. Like, Shane Reese is a really good guy. There's no hate. But he was talking about, like,
cracking down.
Well, right. And it's like, well, what the heck do you guys mean? You just changed the rules and now you're talking about cracking down. All that does is lead to fear. Students are like, what do you mean? Like, are we good? Did it change? Did it not change? Like, it's just wrong. It is just wrong. Like, to have people living in fear 24/7 is not okay at all. It's not right.
It was funny because, like, when he became president, everyone was like, you think he's going to take out the honor code? Mm-hmm. And then he went to, like, a podcast.
Yeah.
And it was like, we are going to
get him. And it was like an edit. Yeah, it was like,
yeah, yeah. He's like,
and you're like,
he's like, we are BYU honor code. And I was like, bro.
Oh, no.
I was like, dang it.
So it's changed.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are talks like that will come out. And you're like, has it changed or has it not? Like, I think students are like wanting to just be talked to and treated like adults and given the ability to learn and make decisions. And it's like, not even my parents are this strict, you know? And like, those are the people that raised me. So why am I coming to a place that like, not even the church is that strict? Like the church,
yeah,
you're allowed, granted, I mean, drinking, smoking, all that makes a lot of sense. But like, hey man, if you came to BYU and you have tattoos, you know, even in church, like you're allowed to come to church with tattoos.
You are.
You're allowed to come with piercings. You're allowed to come with blue hair.
Even on the mission, you're allowed to now.
Yeah. And
you
so
just have
like,
to cover them. But
so why is it BYU is so special? It shouldn't be. It should abide by the same. Anyways, the dress and grooming standards have changed a little bit, but it's still kind of this ambiguity that, like, people are scared. And that's what I'm coming back to here. People are scared to talk to their bishop. I've seen people get kicked out, which is, in my opinion,
that's
so wrong. So wrong. Unless, like, he explicitly stated open rebellion and refusal to change.
Yeah.
But if you're coming with a contrite spirit and an open heart, that is doctrinally repentance. And it's like, if you're wanting to change, why in the world should you fear changing for the better? And this school has historically taught people to almost live in fear if they want to do that, you know? And they have this outward appearance of perfection, but inside they're crumbling. I've seen it all the time. And I've met so many students that are like broken on the inside, but don't want to say anything because they're scared to get kicked out. And it's just a really sad, sad way to go about it.
Let's do one of the last ones. You look at the grooming to not be sloppy, overly casual, and
no, say this one louder. This one's got to be.
Then you look at the grooming to not be sloppy, overly casual, or ragged. And you then look at the life of Jesus. He sought the ragged, downtrodden, and sloppy members of society. He saw them in times of need, met them where they were, and not once held judgment for their appearance. Who's to say someone isn't facing depression and showering what is out of the question if they were to make it to class? Though many come from well-off families at BYU, who's also to say that someone paved their own way of education and can't afford to look put together at times? To then be brought under scrutiny for not meeting honor code status. What does that say about the institution's concerning for people's well-being? For compassion for students during a challenging and trying 4 years of obtaining an education. In addition, the church is big on meditating and complementing the Book of Mormon to determine if it's true.
Maybe as contemplating this.
They say complementing, okay. But contemplating the Book of Mormon to determine if it's true. As with all religions, this does not stop at the time of conversion or acceptance. Human life is about exploring, finding testaments to faith, building testimonies and strongholds. An honor code that so tries to limit deviation from being a proper LDS member leaves no room for personal discovery based on outside opinion and growth from expanded friends group who hold differing values and lifestyles. There's a lot more to this one, but yeah.
I mean, I've made my opinion pretty well known. I think things that would complement the church's standards make sense. I think the grooming standards don't, period, blank across the board. I think lifestyle choices, sure. A lot of people don't follow the word of wisdom. They pick and choose what they want to follow and what they don't, and I have my qualms and quarrels with it. If you look at the word of wisdom, 99.9% of people do not follow every single thing on there because it talks about a lot more than just caffeine and coffee and tea. Anyways, things that complement the church, total sense, makes sense. I think we forget the idea of fence laws versus higher law. Like, this was beautiful. I think Jesus has historically proven he has always gone for the unqualified. He qualifies the unqualified. And that's what makes the Bible so special. It is the perfect example of love towards an unlovable people. Broken, sinful, horrible people. And God shows his love and compassion towards us. And I think BYU as an institution has gotten it wrong because there's too focused on rules rather than creating disciples of Jesus Christ. And I think we need to focus more on compassion, empathy, understanding, and forgiveness rather than if their ears, if their fade is looking fresh, right? Like, fortunately, that's not how it works. And if you want a worldwide church, you got to have a broader sense of understanding.
A worldwide, right? Yeah.
Worldwide view.
I totally agree with everything you're saying. I want to enforce that there are some that do believe, you know, maybe not the BYU article is true, but, you know, it's placed and you should just abide by it because you come here. And that might not be the best way to think of things. All in all, everyone just wants to, if you come to BYU, you pretty much just want to follow, you know, a higher being, God,
yeah, Jesus Christ. Yeah, you want to follow Jesus, right?
You know, some people have other religions.
Sure.
And some of the principles that we have in the honor code are actually really good. And, you know, they make sense why they're there. But there's some other things.
No premarital sex. Don't be weird.
There's some other things that, you know, shouldn't be there. And that's all we're kind of like, that's pretty much what everyone was trying to say. You know, like, why are you doing more than what it's asked for, mm-hmm. right? Especially during a time where, you know, these are some of the hardest years for a lot of people, right? When you're like 18 to 22 or even a little bit older, and right? In your 20s, right?
The time we're living in, bro. Yeah. I can't even buy freaking gas.
And we're not even talking about the BYU marriage stuff, right? And trying to date here. So what we're trying to say is, let me grow out a beard.
I want to wear a tank top, show up the guns.
Yeah. And you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about the whole, like, Utah and the religion, right?
Right. So the topic that we're going to be doing, we'll do a round table, which I'm very excited for.
Yeah, yeah.
And the idea is, does Utah, right, breed religious freedom or hinder religious freedom? Historically speaking, Utah is a place of freedom from prejudice from other people for their own religious freedom, right? Like, I mean, they came here, Brigham Young came here and founded Utah in the hopes of finding religious freedom. Now we find ourselves fast forward. We got Mormon swingers, we got Botox, we got Sway, Fizz, right? But is it still a place that has religious freedom, or is the religious freedom catered to only one specific population? And so I think we'll talk about that. We'll invite some people who are from different backgrounds, and we'll get an opinion. Because, you know, I think it should. We're the United States. This should be a place of religious freedom. And so, you know, we'll get to it. Don't you worry. We won't spoil anything. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of fighting. This table will probably be thrown next week. This might be next all messed time. Up. But, yeah, I had the most beautiful thought, and I just kapooped it.
It's all right.
I'm gone. What was I thinking?
Like and subscribe, comment down below, give us everything.
Yeah, this has been a really heavy episode, and so what we'll do is we'll put a cat video after this. We'll plug in a cat video in the next 10 seconds. So thank you so very much for everything. We love you guys. We'll be signing off. Like us. They not like us. And cat video in 3, 2, 1. Meow.